B3. Number 11A.
The subject of today is the question of healing in the 16th chapter of Science and Health. We have seen yesterday that looking over the history of Christian Science in respect to the question of healing, that we could see that there were always various periods in which the method of healing changed, and we could see that all these ways of giving a treatment were picking out atomistic single statement out of the whole textbook, like the method of argumentation, that actually the whole body of the textbook speaks not about argumentation, and yet those few references on argumentation became, so to say, the main way of treating disease. And so in each period we saw that always some angle was stressed, but never really the whole textbook. Now, we see that the textbook is a whole, and that one textbook presenting the one principle includes within itself the structure of that one principle, meaning that there are 16 definite aspects of healing in that textbook, and therefore we should investigate as a method of healing the whole textbook and not just take out of some aspect. So that's what we are going to do today, that we are trying how could we from the textbook distill, so to say, the method of spiritual healing. I think this is a scientific way, it does not rely on just some empirical experience and empirical practice, but that it goes back to a theory, namely to the whole textbook, and take Mrs. Eddy's whole presentation of healing as our basis, so that our practice can be guided by the whole theory and not just by one aspect. So in order to do that, we have to use the method of a matrix, where again, like we had it in the subject of evil, we have to take out all the references from the textbook in regard to healing. Again, the technical preparation is the same as we said for the question of evil. What we do, we take the concordance to the textbook, then write out all the references from the concordance, put them into chronological order. Here, naturally, you have to do something more than just to take the term healing. The work we are doing together today includes all the terms like healing, heals, health, curing, then all the terms of mind healing, then all what has to do with disease and sickness, so that we are not just building on one term, but on the meaning of healing sickness. So I've taken that as a foundation. I have marked a book just with all those references, and then we have prepared, so to say, our study material, and then we can start the work. Then we can take the first chapter and go through all the references that is there on healing and ponder what is the common denominator in that first chapter, and epitomize it for ourselves, then put it into a matrix form, and so we can build up step by step a matrix. So the procedure is again the same as we have done with the question of handling evil. Again, I must now rely that you take my findings, so to say, as a basis, because it would be a tremendous work to take the textbook and do that together. It would be a work of perhaps 50, 60 hours to do that, which we can't do. But I would like to give you again an example of the method. So you have in front of you the empty matrix, which we will use. So again, I'm going to talk around the subject of each chapter, then give you the wordings as I have them in my notes taken from the text, and then we can again decide on an epitome and write that into the matrix. We take the first chapter on prayer, and we can ask ourselves there, what does Mrs. Eddy say about healing in the chapter of prayer? And we see there that there she puts, so to say, first the question, through which means do we actually seek to heal? It is a proposition that she is putting forward and says, through which means should we really try to heal? Should we look out for what kind of healing? Should we look out that we heal just through blind belief or through a religious faith, through a religious prayer? Or should we look out for something else than just petitions and requests to God? Blind faith, faith healing? Or what is it that we should look for in order to be able to heal? And her answer there is that healing should not be on the basis of faith, but that what we should seek is a spiritual understanding, a spiritual consciousness, and that that would be the means through which we should be able to heal spiritually. So can you see again how this fits very naturally into the chapter on prayer? Prayer that has been used mostly in the religious sense, that those who are in need of help would use the means of prayer, praying to God, requesting from God to heal, to help, to save, requesting that through a ritual prayer, worthy prayer, through a blind belief, blind faith in God. Can you hear the common tone? And there she comes in and gives the adequate answer and says, no, it really should be through a new means, a new channel, namely through the means of spiritual understanding and spiritual consciousness. Isn't that very simple and logical? Meaning, therefore, that we should look out first to gain a spiritual understanding of God, that we should first culture a spiritual consciousness, and that only such a spirituality would be the means and would have the power to take care of a situation. Let me show what she uses in her text. You can see she shows what we should not use, and second, what we should use. So she says we should not try to heal through human faith, through blind faith, through belief, through blind belief, through mere requests. These are her words, and you can hear at once that there is a common denominator there. So her answer is in the positive tone, that we should seek healing through an absolute faith in God. Explains that absolute faith as a spiritual understanding of Him, as a spiritual consciousness which would heal instantaneously, that we should have an enlightened understanding. These are her terms. Again, to repeat it again, we see that she puts here forward first the question. She does not yet, so to say that by having a spiritual understanding, we do heal. It's first the chapter on prayer, putting forward, so to say, the question, how should we seek to heal? Or what is the means that we should seek to employ in order to heal? And giving the answer that it should be through spiritual understanding, through a spiritual consciousness, and not through a human concept or through human blind belief. As simple as that. And yet so wonderful. See? Because so many patients will come to the practitioner not with that attitude. They will come to the patient with that blind belief that he can do it. Not with an attitude that it is seeking first a spiritual understanding and a spiritual consciousness, and that would be really the means of healing. All right, shall we epitomize that? And perhaps it helps here just to epitomize it perhaps in question and answer form, that we would say here, you could write down, how should we seek to heal? I don't know if that is correct English. Does that make sense, or should we put it other way? See, how should we seek to heal? Question mark, answer, through spiritual consciousness, through spiritual consciousness, not through blind belief. Through spiritual consciousness, not through blind belief. All right, so we have the first chapter. Now let's go to the second, and we have seen the method is to listen if a next chapter brings out a completely different angle on this question. If it differs, always the differentiation is the main thing that helps us to order anything. You see, that's why you have in the synonym spirit, that spirit diversifies, classifies, individualizes, and that therefore spirit is order, because we only can get order by first taking the whole mass of data and begin to diversify, classify, and individualize them, to put them into classification and categories so as to sort them out and order things. So this very sense of having within oneself a diversified consciousness helps to find order. In the chapter Atonement and Eucharist, she takes up another question, namely, how do we get really that healing power that heals through spiritual consciousness? She has presented in the chapter on prayer that we should heal through spiritual consciousness, but then naturally the question arises, but how do we get the power of that spiritual consciousness? So you can see in prayer you only have a proposition first. It is first proposed, look here, try to find spiritual consciousness and heal through spiritual consciousness, and don't try to heal yourself just with a blind faith, religious faith, mystical belief. Try to get understanding. So in the second chapter, she asks naturally herself, but how on earth do we get that spiritual consciousness? We just can't say, all right, I take spiritual consciousness, when we don't have it. Therefore, she must explain how we get that. And Atonement and Eucharist, as we know, has always these two aspects of atonement, which is gained through the Eucharist, that we will never find our at-one-ment, at-one-mindness, at-one-mentality, at-one-mind. You see, that's atonement. That we will never get this at-one-mindedness as long as we have another mind within ourselves, as long as the human mind and the mortal mind is still speaking and still has a say within our consciousness. Therefore, Atonement and Eucharist always ask us that through at-one-ment, that at-one-ment demands also the Eucharist. And here in regard to healing, she brings out these two aspects too. Namely, she says that we gain that spiritual healing power through laying down the mortal. That's the Eucharist. We can lay down the mortal through atonement, or we atoned by it. Namely, the atonement, she says, we get spiritual power by obedience to God, by spirituality and Christ-likeness. But in order to express that, she has the other side of Eucharist, where she says, therefore, you have first to lay down your mortal sense of things. You have to lay down the mortal consciousness. So, spiritual healing, therefore, here is shown as something that has to do with a life commitment, and not just with a desire, not just with seeking, not just with a mental treatment. It's not just mental treatment, it's not thinking differently. This is really the crux of the whole thing, that still the Christian Science field thinks that treatment has to do with thinking differently than other people. To think right. All through the periodicals, all through the teaching of Christian Science, always goes that you must think right, you must think good. It's always thinking, 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 which Mrs. Eddy doesn't really say, and when she says that, it's always then from the subjective point of view. I will touch on that later on. But for her, really, her science is not the thinking science. It's a science of life. And therefore, with all the study we may do, no matter how many donkey's hours we put into it, as long as it's thinking, and it is not coupled with a life experiment, with life experience, with life commitment, that thinking will always be thinking and never spiritual power. Until then, it is the power of the human mind. It is willpower. It's mesmeric power. It's the power of right thinking. And this is not what Mrs. Eddy has taught. Here in this chapter, she brings this out very clearly. And actually, the aspect of the Eucharist is stressed much more than the aspect of atonement. I will read you some references just to show that. The aspect of atonement, she says that spiritual healing power is really gained through, through obedience to God, you see, through spirituality, through Christ-likeness. That's something very different than right thinking. Most of the references concern the Eucharist, where she says that we get spiritual power by what? By laying down the earthly all. That's asking a lot. She says, you gain your spiritual power by laying down the earthly all. It's not that we gain spiritual power by learning to think differently. She says, we gain it by taking up the cross, by sacrifice, by intense human sacrifice, by putting aside first all that is not Christ-like, by rejecting error, by rebuking error, by the willingness to give up human beliefs, by not holding on to beliefs outgrown, by overcoming the flesh, the world, and all error. Can you hear the tone of the Eucharist? That says you gain spirituality by laying down materiality in your life. You don't get just spirituality just by being trained into another way of thinking. Anybody can do that, to be trained into another way of thinking. But it is much more if we can see that this healing power is a spiritual consciousness, not a mental consciousness, a spiritual consciousness, and that demands in life to take up the cross and sacrifice our most cherished beliefs. How shall we summarize this? Perhaps in the second chapter we could again perhaps help by stating the question, which says, how do we get spiritual healing power? How do we get spiritual healing power? Answer: by laying down all that is not Christ-like. By laying down all that is not Christ-like. Do we feel the difference from this chapter and the first chapter? We can see that therefore already now that Mrs. Eddy really tackles the same problem in every chapter from a different angle, and that only all these angles together form a coherent whole, and that we can't leave out one of them. We come to the third chapter, marriage. Sometimes I'm going to tell you statistics, even in the textbook, because it may be rather indicative for the whole problem. Here, for instance, in marriage, we have a whole chapter with very few references on healing. Very few. The question now is that healing is proportionate, so to say, or the healing ability is proportionate to our ascendancy in the spiritual realm. That only as we have spiritual ascendancy that our power to heal is evolved. Again, it isn't saying you get more and more spiritual power by more and more study. It doesn't say you get more and more spiritual power the more you know the nitty-gritties of this science. It's necessary to have the latter, but the healing power is to find the spiritual impact and live that spiritual impact and accept in life the spiritual impacts. That is that which evolves spiritual power. If we take Christian Science as a nice hobby for the evening, well, it may be a start, but it isn't really the core of Mrs. Eddy's teaching. That doesn't mean that we should not have a job, that it should not go along our daily commitments, whatever they are, but it means that these daily commitments are put under the higher impact of that spiritual ascendancy. It's actually not much difference if I have to go to the office and do for 4 hours letter work and administrative work and organizational work for my job, and if somebody goes to a factory and does there his job, that isn't the main thing. What counts is how you do it, with what attitude you do it, and if you accept in the situation, and especially in our life situation, if we accept really the challenge of the one life and accept it as our life. Here in the chapter on marriage, we always get that sense that we must now use that what we have, that we use our talents, that we don't bury our talents, and use them, which is a step-by-step spiritual ascendancy. That's typical for this chapter. And also in regard to healing, we feel this tendency there expressed very much. So she would tell us that the healing power is evolved not through the use of the animal nature in man, not by using the willful nature in man, but by using really the higher qualities of being. Her references are in that way that she says, But we gain healing power not through animal natures. Therefore, we need an ascendancy, but through obedience to moral and spiritual law. Obedience to moral and spiritual laws. Her moral laws, she explains then in the 13th chapter and shows there the ethics of Christian Science, and therefore we'll see what the morals in Christian Science are. Further, she says, by losing the sense of disease.